outside.
All right, call to order the September 5th, 2018 meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Next item is approval of the meeting minutes. Why don't we just take a minute and look through the minutes? Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Public comments. Any public comments? Seeing none, we will close that. Okay. Old business. Let me talk about the first one. I'm sure the commission realized last time we tabled the item. And I did go to the town council, last town council meeting, and raise the issue. And, you know, with the recommendation of the commission to say that we could, you know, think of it not as a text amendment to the zoning, but also put it into other type of things. Made it very specific that before we push forward on any sort of discussion, because it would take a fair amount of time, I wanted to make sure that there was at least a majority opinion that they wanted us to do that. They had a discussion on it, and they actually went down and voted, and it was 4-1 against us pursuing this. Mr. Whitley was the only one that was for it. So, and it was pretty adamant, 4-1. So at that point, it was the decision to basically table this particular item. So that is now off the calendar, to say the least. So it was definitely 4-1. I mean, there's no question about it. Any questions or discussions? I think were you there or? Yeah, you were there. So, I mean, did that pretty well summarize it? Okay. All right. So. So anyway, that's off. Other old business is item 5B, which is a text amendment to add an exception to section 19-373 regarding signs used by homeowner association. Again, we had a discussion of this last time, and I believe that John has come back with a...
Yes, sir.
Okay. Recommendation. All right.
I'll just, go ahead. Commissioner Whitley asked me to request to be excused. He had some personal come up this afternoon and unable to attend. So, yes, I believe I prefaced this last month pretty well. Would y'all like me to go through that again, or are you okay?
No, I'm
fine. I mean, we know the situation.
Okay. Well, the commission asked for me to draft an ordinance text amendment, and so you should have that in your packet with highlighted areas. The main ordinance there, you can see. And then I gave you a couple of different options for some of the descriptive parts of the ordinance that are also highlighted. So I'll read it first. Freestanding or monument signs for existing homeowner associations of more than 4 parcels of land, noting only entrances and or common areas designated for owner's use, like a pool, parking lot, tennis court, clubhouse, etc. Signs shall be limited to 32 square feet and shall be illuminated from the exterior only, and shall be constructed of the same material and to have the same look of the homes located within the HOA. When using this exception, no more than two signs per parcel are allowed. And then the permitting process of 19-374 applies. So I included the language that I felt was most fitting, but then I kind of brainstormed on some other language that I thought that the commission may be interested in and included that. So.
I've got a real quick question right here. When you say your recommendation, when using this exception, no more than 2 signs per parcel, the way I read that is that means every single parcel within the HOA could have it.
Every single HOA parcel is what I mean by that ordinance.
Okay, I think that because right above it you talk about it's only homeowners associations of more than 4 parcels, which to me implies that that you're talking about lots, okay, in terms of that definition of parcel, but then further down, and I know what you're trying to say, you know, is that an HOA can only have one sign.
I haven't noticed that, but I definitely see what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could interpret that as every single parcel could have two signs on it.
Just the other thing was, in the minutes, we talked also about a height restriction.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that probably should be, what was it, 6 foot?
Totally left that off.
Okay, all right. So.
So no more than 6.
We'll discuss this.
Huh? What?
Tell me what you want to change.
What did we talk about? Not like 6 foot?
I think 6 foot would be
the
max.
No higher than 6 foot?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we said. I mean, we don't specify in minutes.
We also, I think, talked about it being a monument sign. I mean, does that matter whether it's a pole sign or monument sign?
There wasn't a definition for monument sign.
Okay.
I included that in the handout that you should have there. So if we want to call it a monument sign, we probably need to put a definition in there. We reference monument signs in other parts of the sign ordinance. So.
Mm-hmm. But we don't have a definition of monument.
Correct.
Okay, but we reference it.
It's actually in the permitted signs category on the breakdown.
I'm in favor as long as they put a height limit of 6 feet. Make it clear that only two signs per HOA would be allowed rather than per parcel.
Are we grandfathering what already exists?
Huh? Pardon?
Are we grandfathering what already exists?
If it already exists and you adopt a regulation, it's non-conforming by the nature of the amendment.
Yeah.
But we don't have an amortization process for non-conforming signs, do we?
Yes, sir, we do.
We do?
We do.
Okay.
You insisted on it.
That's right, I did.
Oh, yeah. Way back when.
Comes around, goes around.
There you go. Well, no, I'm a firm believer in amortization, so of signs. So we get. I don't like grandfather. How many do we have that would be, quote, grandfathered or need to be amortized that wouldn't fit within this?
Well, I think it's more important to point out that we're giving them an option or an avenue for them to replace what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes obvious that it needs to be replaced.
Right.
Particularly in RA1 or RA1A districts. Most HOAs have signs.
I know.
Yeah.
So, depending on what the definition of a monument sign is, I would think the one at Beach Walk, the big brick one at the Settlers Lane, would probably be the most questionable as far as that's concerned.
And they got three of them. Two and I do. And then the one.
Yeah.
Are we defining parcel as the total property or pieces of property?
I wouldn't want to say lots.
The keys in the village.
Skip back up. I'd like to stay on one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about. Yeah, we've been bouncing around. Let's talk about the number of signs per parcel. I mean, my sense of what we're talking about is per HOA.
Per HOA parcel is what my intent was.
Okay, but when you mean an HOA parcel, it's the parcel that the HOA
owns.
Okay.
Even if it's split.
I think it's good if you leave it in an HOA like you suggested.
Or would you say subdivision?
Subdivision is different than an HOA.
So just say no more, when using this exception, no more than two signs per HOA are allowed.
I think that works.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Second thing
is
okay.
Per HOA, you got a comment?
I do.
I'm sure it's a good one.
Well, go ahead.
We're all waiting.
I think most HOAs have a lot more than two signs already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say Ocean Dunes has four.
We want to make it.
The village and the Keys have three. They're all monument signs, though.
Of course, we're split by
four.
The road.
Two at the beach.
Yeah.
Six.
Right, plus the ones at the beach park.
So, yeah, multiple HOAs have multiple properties that are owned by the HOA as common areas. So, I think it's
okay.
I believe they want to have more signs out there, which what I was trying to accomplish with that.
All right, so what you're talking about is when using this exception, no more than two signs per, as you said, HOA owned parcel?
Yes.
Owned parcel.
My intention, yes.
Yeah. I mean, is that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you've got a common area that consists of six or seven different... First of all, I have problems with the word parcel. I didn't look to see if that's defined. Lots, I understand. If you're going to subdivide something, you end up with lots, usually from parcels. But to limit it to the number of parcels owned by the association, or lots owned by the association, I don't know your town well enough. How many, what's the maximum number of lots that a maximum HOA would own as a common area? You'd have to pool.
Well, the Keys has two pools, tennis courts.
Of course. And then a common area where you come in.
I think we need to go back to what the purpose of the ordinance of the text amendment was. And wasn't it any parking, unauthorized parking on common areas?
Right.
Is that what we were talking about?
It was to notify people that this was private property and they should not park or trespass on that private property for means of going
to the beach. For the sake of discussion, why not signs at the egress and ingress? I mean, that's what you're talking about.
That's where they're located.
Yeah. But then we also brought up the idea that there are a lot of HOAs that are technically violating our current sign ordinance. Okay. And that was the point that I think John made, is that, you know, what we're trying to do is capture what appears to be a fair amount of violation of our existing sign ordinances by the HOAs, by, again, Curie Village and things like that, putting all these signs
and
up.
And they're also at the pools.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of discussion, why do you want to capture those? For example, if they're non-conforming and they're replaced or repaired and you've got an exemption available, and then the non-conforming goes away and the conforming takes its place. I'm not sure why you want to capture the current non-conforming.
Because currently, if they were to try to replace them, they would not be permitted to be replaced.
Well, under your amortization, I didn't read it that carefully. What does the amortization provision do?
I think it's 15 years, and then it has to be completely removed and brought into compliance.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
So just for an example, RA1, RA1A, RA2, RA2A, RA2T, RA3A off of Fort Fisher Boulevard, and B4 are not allowed to have any freestanding signs.
And many of them do.
Tell you. Anywhere there's HOA.
Comments?
You know, my problem with two signs for Ocean Dunes is we have two sides of the street. If we, right now we mark the southern and most northern part of our area on the beach side, but we have two different areas on the other side that need to be said Ocean Dunes or the Ocean Dunes Rec Center.
Ocean Dunes is RA3A on Fort Fisher and it is permissible.
Oh, shut up, Bill.
we can change that if you want.
No, we're good. We're good. Strike everything before Bill.
My opinion is that so far I think all the signs by the HOAs look nice. I the whole idea of sign ordinances is to control the kind of the trashy look and the excessive signage and that sort of thing. So what we want to do is create something here that allows the HOAs to have nice looking signs that aren't a problem. But make sure that we limit, you know, where problems do occur, but, you know, I'd hate to force Curie Beach Village because of the amortization to tear down the walls and stuff like that or move their signs.
Well, I think the way the first part of the proposed amendment is written covers your concern. So I think the only issue is what's the maximum number. But doesn't that also segue into your comment about how we're going to parcel out duplexes?
Well, I think that's because John and I talked about that, and that's why he put the four parcels, that this doesn't apply to HOAs with less than four lots, if you want to change it to lots. So that would eliminate the duplexes, you know, that have a HOA.
Well, then is it a question that I'm just coming up with a maximum number that captures the non-conformings and isn't so outrageous that it creates its own problem? I mean, what is that number? Could you do the minimum down there, more than one sign per HA parcel requires approval of the board?
I don't know.
That still doesn't help the future.
I'm not sure the board really wants to approve every single sign that comes up either.
I mean, if you're going to put it in entrances and at common areas like a pool and a parking lot, tennis court and a clubhouse, what's the maximum, take your biggest HOA with your most common areas, what number of signs would you need to cover those common areas in that particular HOA?
How many tennis courts do you have, Ken?
Two. I think seven signs.
At least seven.
The tennis court.
And you're Cary Beach Village, right?
Right, Village, yeah. When you take the three, there's three monument signs. Two on Cary Village Way, one over by Anchor.
Well, let's talk about locations for activities, I guess.
Oh, activities, okay. Well, we have two tennis courts, two pools. One of the tennis courts is very close proximity to the pool, but still, that would be four. And that would be it. And the gazebo.
And then the entrance, you have the entrance signs.
Those entrance signs are, he was just talking about activity signs.
Oh, activity signs, okay.
And then you have the gazebo, which you would have probably, like they have two.
Yep.
You want one on either side, so that would be, what?
You also got one to the clubhouse, too.
Well, the clubhouse is right by the pool now.
And you also have the entrance on the brick coming into it.
Once again, that's an entrance. He's talking about activities.
I'm just trying to give
it. No, I understand. I think that's to get
everybody a feel for how many HOA properties Cary Beach.
Right, and I think that's a good way of doing it. So you have two pools, two tennis courts, and two signs at the gazebo. Now, if they want to put one, and now the clubhouse and the pool are in the same parcel, basically. So I don't think you need two. So that's six signs that we have, and then for the entranceway monument signs, we have three, but they're really big. No, four. They're really big.
Clubhouse one.
Yeah. You got three on Cary Village Way and one on Anchor. So that's
two. Maybe the best way to say, when using this exception, no more than two signs per HOA owned parcel are allowed. But then we write in something where if there's an exception, that they do come to the commission for approval. You know, which would deal with the size issue.
But even, just remember, this, with the amnesty, I don't want to see people having to, in whatever number of years left, tear down their monuments.
I feel like that's pretty open-ended.
And I don't know that you want them coming to you all when you've already got a permit system built into the code anyway. I mean,
that would be for an exception.
This is an exception, first of all, but I would want to clearly identify what exceptions you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
That way you don't get every...
I mean, I just think about where I've been on other planning commissions, and we reviewed a lot of signs. We looked at a lot of signs and approved signs that didn't fit cleanly within a particular sign ordinance, that they would come and, we would talk about it and say, yeah, it makes sense to have it here, and then go ahead and approve it as an exception.
Are we talking about not more than two per entrance or activity?
Or just two?
Because you can't put a total number.
Yeah, I think it'd be, unless you put a total per number of lots in the HOA. I mean, you could do that. In which case, Cary Village has a lot of lots.
Biggest one.
Yeah, so you could put a limit maybe based upon...
What about this? If you look at your text amendment, the first part reads, creates an exception for existing homeowner associations of more than... Do you want more than or four and more?
I say more than four.
I would like to change parcels to lots, but to make my point, you're creating an exception for associations of more than four lots of land, noting only entrances and or common areas, yada, yada, yada. When using this exception, no more than two signs, and go back to that language, per entrance and or common areas are allowed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine with me.
We have three in one area per entrance.
And or common areas count?
Yes. When using this exception, no more than two signs per, and I'm going back to the language in the second line, entrances and or common areas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that work?
But we'd have 15 years.
It seems to work.
That one's about to be torn down.
If y'all are good with that, the last thing we've really got is the height. We haven't addressed that yet. What I was trying to do there is if we can get all the changes we think we want, and I'll read it out again and see if we can agree with that.
I think there should be a height so we don't have somebody. Again, as you know, I always try to kind of think of the worst-case scenario. And try to manage the worst-case scenario. Not that people would do the worst-case scenario, but I think we always try to write an ordinance that would think of it. And so this would allow a big pole sign that has, you know, something up there. So I think we clearly need to put a height on it.
So you want that for the street level?
So referring back to our scheduled sign regulations,
I think there's something over six.
All the signs in the areas that are permitted to have freestanding signs are regulated to 14 feet. Just throwing that out.
Right. That's a nasty thing to throw out, too. A 14-foot sign for HOA. I'd say no more than 6 feet.
6 feet.
Yeah. No more than 6 feet.
I think we have them more than 6 feet, though. Slightly more.
Slightly more. Want to make it? Well, which one?
I'm just thinking about
It's the entrance.
Or Sea View. Those seem to be at least 6 feet. But six and a half.
Want to make it 8 feet? I mean,
that'd be reasonable.
To your point, you're allowed to have that sign.
Because it's where it is.
Different zoning, yeah.
But even in other locations, 6 foot is.
Yeah. How high is the sign that you're proposing?
I believe it's 6.
So it was very close to 6 feet because that's what we were
Yeah, because that's where we got the number from when we said, well, let's make it 6. That's the difference. And I don't think ours is 6 feet at the on the ocean.
And I, don't I mean, think 6 feet is a pretty tall sign.
None of the monument walls are 6 feet.
Our monuments.
Yeah.
I don't think the beach wall is.
The signs that the posts are, that's over 6 feet, but the same shot.
We're talking about total height, right?
Yeah, it's a total height. The total height of the sign.
The only thing with 6 foot is, if you think about 2 feet of bushes.
Yeah.
Because that's normally what happens. You plant bushes in front of it. So 8 foot would actually give you 6 foot of sign.
I mean, I don't have a problem with 8 feet. I certainly wouldn't want to go above 8 feet.
Right.
So. Comments?
8 feet with me.
8 feet? All right, so if we put a limit of 8 feet and your recommendations.
Let's put the following. We finished out the amendment. Why don't we add an additional sentence right at the end? The height of any signs exempted here under shall not exceed 8 feet in height.
Okay.
So we are holding to the 32 square foot.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so with those changes, what would it read as of right now?
Is there any way we could capture the 8 feet close to where the 32 square feet is so that all the dimensions are in line.
Should be limited to 32 square feet
and not exceed 8 feet in height.
And not exceed 8 feet.
And shall be illuminated
from the exterior.
Yeah.
And Chairman, you had some additional comments to Mr. Batson about non-changeable copy.
Oh, yes, thank you. The non-changeable copy, I think, is important because, again, worst case scenarios, let's say you have a homeowners association that wants to wish birthdays or have street fairs or things like that. You know, I mean, they could, if it's a changeable copy, even though it's exterior lit, you could still put the copy. You know, I mean, what are they called? Posters, not poster signs. What are those called?
Let's add one more line on the bottom.
Just
changeable copy.
Yeah, they just say, you know, signs. No sign can contain changeable copy.
Okay, let me get John's permission. I'll read it back and we'll see how he feels. Freestanding or monument signs for existing homeowner associations of more than 4 lots of land. I guess we can leave out of land.
Yeah.
Freestanding or monuments. Well, let's stop for a minute. You have a. I guess, is freestanding You said the monument is not defined. Is freestanding defined?
Yes, sir.
Does freestanding capture it? Do we need monument at all?
Hold on, I'll read the definition for you. Standing sign shall mean an outdoor sign when such sign is supported by uprights or braces in or upon the ground. Ground sign does not mean billboard.
Do we need monument?
I think it sounds good. It kind of gives a hint, even though it's not defined.
We've got to provide a definition.
Yeah, we might as well just do it.
Well, you said we have other places in the ordinance where we talk about monument signs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then what I would suggest is that we leave monument here and then come back as a separate issue and figure out where to put a definition of monument.
All right. So freestanding or monument signs for existing homeowner associations with more than four lots, noting only entrances, comma, and or common areas designated for owner's use, i.e. pool, parking lot, tennis court, clubhouse, etc. Signs shall be limited to 32 square feet, comma, not exceed 8 feet in height, comma, and shall be illuminated from the exterior only, and shall be constructed of the same material. I'm going to take out and to have a similar look of the homes located in within the HOA. When using this exception, no more than two signs per entrances and or common areas are allowed, and no sign shall contain changeable copy.
Okay. Is there a motion for that?
Let me make one suggestion. To have a similar look of the homes located within the HOA or constructed of the same material to be harmonious with the, I think similar. You know, we can put as many angels on the head of the pin as we want. We can keep similar looks as what you wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah. So with what you just said, is there a motion for that?
One question. Yeah. Is there any location where there's changeable copy now?
Not at HOAs.
No?
Not that I know of.
No. And commercial signs there are, but not HOAs.
Town
no.
signs.
Okay. Not in the village, not at Curry by the Sea.
The new signs. Beach Walk. The beach.
All that is in... anything where you put notices or anything like that are usually by the mailboxes and contains, you know, things. So I can't think of any.
We're thinking there's none.
Okay.
Yeah. Does not apply
but
to town.
Sure.
So it should be good.
All right. Is there a motion to?
Did
you make that motion? Okay.
I made the motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay,
Chairman, you need a consistency statement. I drafted one that was generic enough. For example, it refers to the proposed amendment that freestanding or monument sign under specified conditions and for certain existing homeowner associations shall be excluded from the sign regulation.
Okay.
That is cited to part of the LU land use plan.
So the consistency statement is fine with our changes that
yes.
we've made. Okay. Is there a... Now, we have to approve the consistency statement, too.
Yes, and each of you has a copy there.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the consistency statement?
So
motion
to approve.
Okay. Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The other thing I would suggest is we don't need to work on it right now, but can you come up with a definition of monument signs for our next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And we can go into
logistically. Clear. Let's check with John. John, I've got my notes. You want me to just type up the revised amendment and send it to Kathleen, and she can forward it on to Nancy.
Oh, yes, sir. That's fine. If you've written it down, I have also. But you go ahead.
I got a million things to do. If you're biting it, good.
I will write this thing up and we'll send it on to you for.
Rubber stamping.
Yep.
Okay. And so for our October agenda, can we have as an agenda item definition of a monument sign? As an agenda, okay. Anything more on old business? New business. Consideration discussion of additional wording to for permissible uses for churches under section 19-92. John?
Yes, sir. I'll take lead on that one. So, Cure Beach First Baptist Church is located on 6th Avenue. I'm not sure if anybody knows the location down there, but it's a big, large, brick building. Several years ago, they had a couple of existing structures donated to them in 2006, I believe, and they were moved to some back parcels that they own behind the church. Purpose of those buildings were to provide activity centers primarily for the churchgoers, and they've been used as for those reasons since then. Recently, Pastor Howe has asked to meet with me, and I went out there to the site, and they're wanting to redo the bathrooms. The bathrooms that are there, well, the structures were built in the early 90s, I believe, and I don't think there's been any updates or anything. They're interested in renovating the bathrooms and installing some showers and some ADA facilities also. And during the course of the conversation, he mentioned that they may want to host youth groups and things of that nature, including providing shelter for disaster relief workers should the need arise. And so in checking with the ordinance, it became clear to me that the ordinance specifically says that that's not allowed in the zoning. Churches are, but living quarters are not. And so I explained to him the text amendment process, and he drafted some language, sent it to me. I thought that was great that he took the initiative to do that. And I actually emailed Commissioner that language on August 13th. He replied to me. It totally slipped my mind, and I did not put it on the agenda until yesterday. So in saying all that, I think it's important if you swing over to 19-92, permitted uses, so that you can see this ordinance for yourself. And in section 19-92, permitted uses, specifically calls out churches and other places of worship are allowed. And this is RA1's residential district, by the way. But it goes on to say, in number 4, permitted uses, that accessory buildings to permitted uses, provided that no accessory buildings shall be rented or occupied, provided further that accessory buildings shall be constructed at the time or following construction of the main building. So they meet this ordinance right now. What they're proposing, I do not feel would meet it. And so, as I said, Pastor Powell, drafted some language, asked me if I would send it on to you to maybe put on the agenda and look at it for consideration. So that's what you have in front of you now.
Okay.
Now, what's the difference that they want to, what's the distinction that you're making, that they want to add some additional uses like housing emergency relief workers?
Yes, sir. Like I said, during the course of the conversation, he asked about putting in some bunk rooms or sleeping facilities in addition to the renovation of the bathrooms.
And other than that particular use that the church was focused on, the current language would permit them to use it for church-related activities, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can't be occupied.
Thank you.
So if I may, if I can have just a moment, I understand this is a little bit kind of casual. Having been elected 2 terms, I understand the process. I also understand how to stand for commissioners and planning and zoning, that sort of thing. By the way, whoever owns a Triumph, your headlights are on. I hope we don't have to push you off, but it's a straight drive. So I should probably let you know that. Originally, we talked about the proposed language that I don't know if John shared that with you. Making that a facility. Let me tell you the purpose of what we want to do. Let me tell you the response we got back on the language, and then let me tell you a redraft of that. I did 17 years of student ministry in Gaston, North Carolina, Gaston County. And in 17 years of doing student ministry, we went to places like Fort Caswell, where they have youth retreat facilities. We went all over the country doing those things. Many times we'd stop in along the way. If we were going to Portland, we'd stop in a church. We'd sleep on the floor on air mattresses. Since I arrived here as the senior pastor of First Baptist Curry Beach the week before Christmas, I noted that there was about approximately a 4,000 square foot building behind the church that my understanding used to be a boutique. That was donated, I think, along with the house that sits on the corner beside, just to the, I guess that would be... Whatever, northeast corner of the parsonage. The church has since sold that house, but the building still exists. They were using it for a youth facility. As I came on board, started looking at that, started looking at what this town has to offer as far as family vacations, those type of organizations, I fell in love with the idea of marrying that building with this community. So for instance, we had a group come in, they've been coming in for 4 or 5 years now from Anderson, South Carolina. They bring about 150 people with them. They stay down at St. James Place, the majority of them, those little cottages down there at Carolina Beach, and then they come to Curry Beach to do improvements on either people within our church or that we're connected to, or that have reached out to us saying, hey, we're elderly, we just can't do the work. They go out and do that. They lead VBSs in the church. They do Bible clubs on the beach. So they're enhancing the community. In talking to other groups and talking to other people that are in churches, they would love to have a facility that they could come down, their men could come spend a weekend doing a discipleship, maybe get some fishing in. They would love to have some men be able to come down if we had disaster relief need. You know, there's one in the Gulf right now that's heading up. There's one in Florence that's coming across. There's another one coming off the coast of Africa. It's inevitable. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. And we'd like to be the opportunity for them to be able to come, have somewhere to stay, to provide some relief. Especially as I look around the island, this island to me appears to be getting older, not younger, on the Curry Beach side. So there's going to be people that need help that maybe can't get in there, and these guys will be able to provide that. The second thing is we could bring youth groups in that would stay with us no longer than a week. We would not rent the facility to them. We would only charge what we need or ask for a donation that would meet our utility needs. Water and sewer and electricity seem to be prime commodities on the island versus in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we just asked them to help meet that need. We have no intention of using that facility as temporary housing for those who are homeless. I think part of the...
Can you pass on my comment?
Okay. Yeah, so that, which is part of the response I got. So I'll read that just in fairness to everybody in the committee sees. Personally, for the proposed amendment, I would define temporary better. I also look for a possible worst-case scenario, which I've heard you say tonight, and I think that's a very wise thing to do, as the amendment's written now, so that we're not providing temporary shelter for homeless, drug addicts, and other such programs, although I think those are good things to do. I just don't think that our facility is suited for that. So what I'd like to do is propose an amendment, and then I'm going to ask for a little bit of feedback from y'all, kind of like what you do with the signs. Help me craft this in a way that if you think it's a valuable asset to Curry Beach, to where we can do it. Because one, I don't understand the accessory building when it's part of the campus, but I mean, it is what it is, and that's the way it's put there. But the proposed language would be, and Mr. Wimberly helped me draft this, churches and other places of worship, including parish houses, Sunday schools, and accessory buildings normally used in connection with regular church activities, may be used on an ad hoc basis for housing visiting church groups and or to house emergency relief workers during and following a catastrophe situation such as a hurricane or a flood. So I don't know if you're comfortable with that language, but you know, so the two things I'd like to do is one, to find out if that's something you can support, having youth groups that enhance our community, having other men's groups or women's groups or disaster relief that would enhance our community, not detract from it. My goal as a pastor is to make this island a better place the best that I can, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so if you can get behind that, then if you can help me get behind the language of how we can do that, because if I read the text right, we could bring people into the sanctuary or bring people into the fellowship hall and put them on air mattresses. They could sleep there. It's not a big deal because it's not considered an accessory building. What we're proposing to do is add a divider wall between the building, so to give about 2,000 square foot either side, install three bathrooms with one handicap accessible on the guy section, two urinals on the toilet, three sinks. On the girl side, we'll add four showers, one handicap accessible, three toilets, and then three sinks. So it becomes their own retreat center where they get to enjoy the beauty of the island just like we do. So all I'd ask, if you can get behind the idea of that,
if this wording doesn't work, if you could help me put together something that does that, so we don't have to just put them on the floor at the church. Because I think we have a really unique opportunity to have a tool that drives not only better in this community, but also drive some more the income generator in this island. Because you bring in a youth group of 40, they're going to go to Jack Michaels, they're going to go get ice cream, they're going to go to the pier, and they're going to spend their dollars here. So it's economically, it's a good thing, I think, for the island. So one, do you get behind that if you can? And will that wording work, or can you help me get behind some wording that might make it accessible for us?
Okay. You know, again, just very quickly, John had sent this to me on August 13th. And again, taking kind of the worst case scenario, that's why this issue about drugs. My concern is that, you know, obviously I'm involved in churches and things like that, and they strongly support, you know, rehab type of things and homeless. So one of the concerns I had is to make sure that, and those are very noble enterprises. Again, as you said, you know, I'd have no problem with that, but you know, that whatever we do, my own personal opinion, we have to make sure that we don't create a situation where we, you know, end up with 100 drug addicts there, or, you know, homeless, you know, shelters and all that sort of thing. The other point is the rental one too, because, you know, obviously in that location it would have kind of a attraction, you know, that it could be rented as a revenue generating type of activity, and that's not really, I think, the purpose of that. So those are kind of the two issues that I had in terms of starting the conversation. So,
well, in my understanding, correct me if I'm out of line here, I don't think I am, as a church, we can't be a revenue generator as a church, because that violates our tax exempt status.
That's not true. I mean, universities can generate revenues, they have sports events and things like that. So generating revenues doesn't exempt your 501c3 category. The requirements are, you know, making a profit and what you do with those revenues, right, and that sort of thing. But, you know, charging for things, I mean, yeah, universities charge for sport events, and yeah, it's not a problem. So,
yeah, lots of money, yeah, too. So we're not looking to be a revenue generator, yeah, by no means. Matter of fact, if you go to Caswell, and Caswell's a whole different ball game, but if you go to Caswell, for me to take a student down there is about $90, give or take, a night, depending on which one of their facilities you stay in, mm-hmm, over there on the island. All we're looking for is a donation from the church to cover utilities, which you can understand if you bring in 40 kids. The guys don't take showers, the girls take enough for three. So we're going to go through some water, and we want to be able to pay you guys. If you support the idea, then can you help me get behind some language that, because we're like you, although I think those are noble causes for addiction facilities and stuff like that. I went through different counties in the state today, just looking to see what kind of ordinances they have. Those that are using their accessory buildings for that type of work, they're putting ordinance on there saying you can't stay more than 18 months, can't be a family of this, has to be occupied by a staff member. We're not looking to do any of that. All we want to be able to do is, if a youth group calls and says, hey, we'd like to come down and stay at Curry Beach and, you know, access your beach, we'd like to say, hey, we got a facility for you where you can spiritually grow your kids and you can physically impact our island in a positive way. So,
all right.
Yeah, have you talked to the other pastors on the island? Are they going to consider the same thing, expanding?
I don't know that they have the ability to expand.
A couple of them have some land that can do it.
There's only one other pastor on the island, right?
They've got additional land, but that's different zoning also.
Yeah, well, they'll come in and ask for the same thing.
Yeah, that's not already allowed, yes, sir. Yeah. They could.
Yeah.
For example, the Lutheran Retreat Center on Fort Fisher Boulevard, they own a large piece of land,
yeah,
across the street. They actually had plans 2005, 2006 for about a $3 million facility they were looking to move forward on, but kind of bit the dust when the economy did.
Yeah, okay.
Any thoughts, comments from the commission?
I would like to see the language have something that proactively talks about no permanent residents. So that instead of just saying we're going to be temporary, I would like to see that this facility is not intended and will not be used for any permanent residents. If you want to put like 3 months or 18 months on it, but something like that would help me understand that it, you know, it's really.
You're saying instead of being used temporary, occupied temporary, or
something,
interim
something,
occupancy,
something that
or something
that
like
is
that
proactively saying that it is, it will not be used to have any permanent resident in it.
I think we can build in the appropriate safeguards if the consensus is to move forward with the concept.
Okay.
I support the concept. My only concern would be, I hope you're here for a long time, but 10 years from now you may not be, and somebody may want to change the rules. That's why we have to make sure it covers our needs.
No, I completely understand. Yeah. And so part of that is that new drafted language saying that it would be an ad hoc facility. We could definitely put in there that it's an ad hoc at a no period, no longer than, or that it's not a full-time residential. I mean, it would be anyways.
We also want to make sure it's not a cheap hotel either. You know that.
Yeah,
you know. So you know, I mean, what I'm hearing again is that there's kind of support. At least we haven't heard peer support, but. You know, the issues are the type of people that you might get in there and the type of programs. The issue that it's not, you know, revenue generating in the sense that it's simply a youth hotel or a hostel.
Right.
You know, where people come in and you're charging money and all that sort of thing. And then the third thing, as you talked about, is the issue of the definition of temporary. You know, they have some sort of a time limit on the definition of temporary.
Yeah,
those, I think, are the three major things.
If we're going to draft something on language of time frame, though, I like to make sure that we're careful that if a Cat 4 hurricane hits this island and we need a disaster relief team in there for 6 months, that we don't look a gift horse in the mouth and turn them away because our time frame doesn't allow. Do you understand?
And I'm many of us have lived through. I've lived through Fran, Floyd, and everything like that. And you know, I mean, you do get locked up for about 3 or 4 weeks. I can't think of any disaster or situation where you'd have them longer than 6 months, at least here.
And our council has been very good in making sure those types of restrictions,
well,
he'd be able to.
I can tell you, if we have a situation like that, I'm not going to be over there telling you guys to vacate.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the National Guard would be standing outside of it, too.
Yeah. So. I think worst case scenario
is John is parking addressed by the fact that the church would have ample spaces to do it?
I haven't really investigated that portion of it. Maybe Pastor Howell can elaborate.
The parking, your parking accommodate it?
Yeah, so when the group was here, we were able to accommodate that. I think I looked through some parking ordinances from different counties, and they recommend a space for 4 seats available in the sanctuary, that sort of thing. I don't know what, I didn't look for here to see what that ordinance is. Y'all scared me a little bit when you started taking away parking because we use the center section to park for people in the church, and I was told that that would still kind of be maintained as some parking for the church. But most of the time what happens when a group comes in is if you have, let's just pick an odd number, 40 people, they're not going to be 40 cars. They're going to come in a 15-passenger van, so in 3 vans you've covered everybody coming in. So you're not looking at an influx, even adults, when they travel. You know, so and we can regulate that on our side as people say, hey, we'd like to utilize your facility, hey, we'd like to have you. We can regulate that. The other thing is, I think you had a question about what happens if I'm gone in 10 years. We can actually draft into our bylaws what that facility looks like and how it's used and submit that back to you if you like. That's church approved and, you know, it could be changed, but it's
so
your church takes an act of Congress to change the bylaws.
Just a quick overview. Currently, churches are required to have 1 parking space for each 10 feet of a pew space. And for any unlisted uses, 1 parking space per 4 persons.
So that's the same thing you're talking about, 1 per 4.
But 6th Avenue is going to, that's probably won't be an issue. But that's going to be.
I can't speak for town council, but I'll be surprised if they close that parking lot.
Yeah.
We've got another issue as well. When I say issue, I just mean that there's work to be done. We're going to go down this road. 1992 references to accessory buildings.
Right.
Covers one family, it also is applicable to one family dwellings, colleges, schools, libraries, museums. In other words, we'd have to carve out the right language, but then we'd also have to carve it out with respect to the places of worship.
Yeah, as always, to make changes in ordinance for one specific thing always worries me because you never know what tomorrow's going to bring.
It's just...
And that's, we need to make sure that it is not, but, yeah.
It's work intensive because you have to cover all your bases.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why we actually added it to item two underneath that section instead of four.
Right, you know, yeah.
So what I'm hearing from the four members here is that there seems to be general support for this, and the issue is the three or four issues that have been talked about and figuring out the language, you know, associated with that. It sounds like you want to kind of maybe take the lead on the language. Is that what you want to do, or you want us to work on the language?
Staff would welcome some starting point.
Yeah. So if you want to take the lead on the language for this, you know, I think if it satisfies the concerns that the commission has, then it sounds to me like it would be approved as long as the language kind of clears up some of the issues that we've talked about. So
recognize the language you might suggest, while it would be very helpful, you may not recognize it, but it sure would be helpful.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's okay, then we can carry this, table this item to the next meeting. Right. And, you know, somewhere in the next month, you can go ahead and pass on your proposed language, right, run it through John.
I won't forget to email this time.
So what I have so far, and I need to know if there's more that you want in that. What I have so far right now is you don't want homeless or addicts. And I'm not picking at your word. I'm just, those two things.
Those are two examples. But,
no,
you know,
and I understand that. I just need to know what else. I know we don't want permanent housing in there.
I think the way to address that is, rather than list everything you don't want, list the things that are allowed that we can live with.
Yeah. Right. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. If I kind of know where I don't need to go, then I can give you a map of where we need to go.
What were the things you said? You said emergency relief workers. You said youth groups. What else would be on your list?
Yeah, so ad hoc basis housing, visiting church groups, and or to house emergency relief workers during that.
So just should be limited to
those activities.
Okay. To church groups or emergency relief
just
workers.
Limited to whatever you listed there. Okay. Right. Take care of that problem.
The second issue that we heard is that it shouldn't be, there should be language to prevent this from being used as simply cheap youth hostels, you know, where you're charging money for it and stuff like that. I'm not sure how that language would have to be written for that. You know, you talk about charging for utilities, we're getting donations, but
that's not our problem.
Yeah. So
that's true.
Third had to do with the permanency, which is what you're talking about.
If the language comes where they are limiting to a group, I'd have to see it, but
that may take care of that.
So,
in other words, limiting to what's allowed.
Everything else is not allowed.
Would also address non-revenue generating, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed part of the conversation.
I apologize.
Your concern was the issue of permanency. Okay, my issue was the issue of revenue generation. So
let me ask a couple of questions. Yeah. If you limit it to visiting church groups and emergency relief workers following a natural disaster, don't you automatically rule out revenue generating?
No, there are a lot of youth groups that will pay. I mean, there's camps that youth groups will go to, and the revenue generating camps and all that sort of thing. I mean, this is a prime location. I mean, for people to come, as you pointed out. So I think with the concern that we have is we don't want this. I'm not saying you do it, but I always think about the worst case scenario.
Provided no fees are charged for the temporary. I'm just making this.
Yeah, no fees or charges other than, you're talking about covering utility accessory expenses.
Other than donations to the church by the visiting group.
Right.
Well, no, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you can play that. You can play that game too. So.
Well, I don't think we, other than no fees or charges, I think takes care of it. Whatever they do internally with the church is their own problem.
Yeah, that's
why are we worried about whether or not they're going to charge?
Well, I don't want this to become a youth hostel, a revenue-generating youth hostel that cycles groups through every year. Tourists.
Permanent retreat. Church group.
Yeah, yeah. Not a permanent retreat, but a weekly, you know, short-term rental. You know, what I don't want this to do is become a short-term rental for youth.
I think it'd be more important to write in when you're concerned about the permanent residency, to write in a timeline. It can be rented for 14 days out of 30.
Well, I just don't want to get into rentals for a whole lot of reasons. Yeah. Or a whole lot of short Airbnb, short term.
Right, so we want to write it for what your intention is.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, but we have to be cautious about what it could become if, you know, because again, churches, as a lot of people are interested in generating revenues and all that sort of thing, so we want to make sure that this isn't seen as a short term rental thing where you're bringing in 40 kids on a weekly basis and charging, you know, $200 each for it or something like that.
I'll worry about that. Yeah. But what is our parameters for temporary occupancy? What parameters are we interested in on that?
What
do you normally do?
What do you normally?
As long as they don't change your voter registration. I'm just kidding. I can tell you from experience, youth groups only go long weekends or a 7-day trip, and it's Saturday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. That is the normal, and that's 17 years of doing what I've done at places a lot bigger.
Not to exceed, 2 weeks?
I'd say not to exceed 2 weeks, and the exception might be emergency personnel or something like that.
Now, from your experience, and you've done a lot of research around, do you see like every weekend or every week having those buildings filled, or is it?
I see there's a great possibility. And again, the question becomes,
which would be good for you, I know.
Right, it's not just that it's good for us, I think it's good for the island.
Right.
Because we're gonna have a set of standards and parameters set on the groups that are coming in and the conduct thereof. So it's not the house party that's renting that 8-bedroom house on the corner. It's the youth group that's coming in, that's being respectful, that's utilizing the basketball courts at the park, that's utilizing the beach, but that is also doing service projects within our community and stimulating the economy. I could sit here and tell you, well, one a month. But that's not a fair assessment.
I think we've covered that point thoroughly. I have a question for John, and John, it's because I'm fatigued. If we create this permitted use, and they want to come in and tear out the inside and put all the bathrooms and kitchen or whatever in.
No kitchen.
That's covered through a different procedure. That's building inspection. And
yes, sir. They'll be limited to the number of people that will be on the house. Yes, sir.
So in other words, our creating the use doesn't, he's still got to come to you to do what
yes,
they got to do to make that use.
Absolutely.
Which was the original intention of the meeting that we had.
That's correct.
Because we're trying to stay above board. We're not
appreciate it.
It's a good idea. It's just tricky drafting.
No, and I get that. I mean, but like I said, I'm not trying to be a devil's advocate because that's not what a pastor does. But I could house 100 kids in the existing facility that we have now, right?
Yeah.
And I could charge them $100 a night and.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's
well, according to the text of the ordinance,
if they put them into a sanctuary.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we're trying to stay above board. We're trying to do it the right way, and we're trying to make sure that we don't look like we got, you know, a village and their whole family living in a one room hut. That is not our goal either. So, just understand that as I submit that to you.
Well,
with all due respect, we're being disrespectful.
Well, once again, after being with Craig again, we all think of the worst case scenario than that. But no, there will be issues regardless of the kids and their behavior. You know, if they're all down, you're gonna go down I and go to the beach, and people are gonna say where are all these people come from? So that's why it's good to know what the cycle is and all
right.
So
yeah, I said that last week. Yeah, we didn't have a group here.
Yeah. So Pastor, one question. Do you anticipate any problems with the neighbors or neighborhood?
Well, I'm the neighbor.
Because you got no other surrounding houses.
No, there's one that is a rental home.
Because I think of young kids and noise. That's
There's one rental home beside us, which is the one that the church used to own. That is, I've seen two people there since I've been here since the week before Christmas. Punky Curry lives across the street the other way. Him and I are like that. And so I would bring him if I thought it may have any kind of influence, but it wouldn't. And so I don't. The other house has there's another house near us that has students in it, not senior adults, and the rest of them around us are vacation homes as of right now.
And you got 6th Avenue has the avenue, and so the other houses are.
And we have the whole block. I mean, the church has from I to
But again, this will not create issues with the other churches in the community, because this is not a site-specific amendment.
Right, that's right. Like, John, there's only one, no, we've got two, the one on the ocean.
Are they in the same district?
No, they're not a RA1.
No.
So we're going to deal with 1992, we're going to draft it to limit it to the application for accessory buildings to an accessory building.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's only, they have enough room, but I don't think they would.
But the other ones aren't in 19, whatever that district.
RA1.
You know, there was one question as to why it was even classified as accessory building, because it's this Sunday school building. You just walk through.
Yeah. But
we thought maybe accessory buildings at first were tool sheds, frame sheds or things like that. These are 39 by 29, something like that.
There's two of them.
No, there's only one.
They're joined together.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
And there is no tear out. This classroom is all
open. Yeah.
But your Sunday school is, I'm not familiar with this place of worship. You've got, is the Sunday school separate and apart from the church and that accessory building?
Yeah, we use it for.
So you got like three structures?
We have three structures, but they've been joined over the years. So there's the sanctuary that was the last build. There's the old education hallway, which is in the middle, that they just took the door out and just joined. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fellowship hall that was created, metal structure, brick facade on the front.
No,
and then sitting behind that was the youth building. So, and that was my original thought was, why is that a 4,000 square foot accessory building that we currently use now? But, is it defined as that? I don't know.
Because you guys got it for free and we tried to put it in the ordinance, that's why.
And accessory building is defined as a subordinate building, incidental use to the principal building. So I think like that structure in question satisfies that.
Yeah. So that's fine. So we can get the text right on that. I'll draft that, take it into account everything that you asked for. And
so I'll make a motion to table this item until the next meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. All right. Member items. The only member item I have is that Commissioner Whitley was going to suggest that we start thinking about trying to develop language ordinances or something to preserve the downtown district as for the smaller hotels. Are you familiar with that? Had he talked to you about that?
Actually, Craig, I think it was the mayor who actually brought it up.
Right, but I got an email from.
Oh, from Whitley.
Okay. Yeah, from Whitley on that.
Does this relate back to this very minor discussion we had several months ago about a beach overlay district?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So, Commissioner Whitley basically asked us to actually formally start looking at this. And again, he's not here, so. So we're going to table it, but we'd like to have it on the agenda, the formal agenda for our next meeting.
For discussion.
Yeah. In the meantime, I think the interest. I think the interest is to think about the language that would preserve these as small hotels, given that there's pressure for other type of developments down there.
I sent you back whenever this came up a couple of overlay districts.
Right. So we may want to pull all that stuff out again for our discussion on for our next meeting. But yeah, let's put that as a formal agenda. That's really my only member item. I know somebody else has a member item, I think. Somebody?
No, that was the same one.
Oh, same one. Okay, sorry. All right. Is next meeting, is any problems with our normal meeting time on Wednesday, first week of October?
I'm out of town the whole month of October.
Okay. Is everybody else okay for that?
I should be fine.
Maybe I should check Dave. Let's see. That would be October October 3rd. Looks like I'm free too, so. Okay, so we'll have our meeting on October 3rd. That's fine. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I apologize, I missed it by 5 minutes. I try to keep these 1 hour meetings, so.
Thank you.
And I need to sign a consistency statement.
So what happens now?
Only because I love you.
This is going to show up on the council.
Oh, is it your birthday? Well, good, good. We'll have a little celebration.
Celebrate that.